The anointing of Kamala Harris as the Democratic presidential nominee signals the deeply anti-Catholic nature of that party. So why do some self-proclaimed Catholics still support her and the Democratic Party? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host, editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, you know the drill. Smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, let other people know about what we're doing here. You can subscribe to our email newsletter. Just go to crisismagazine.com, put in your email address, and we'll send you our articles each morning, usually two a day. Also, you can follow us on social media at Crisis Mag at all your major social media channels. Okay, so after a grueling primary campaign in which she amassed hundreds of thousands, millions of Democratic voters voting for her, finally Kamala Harris is the official Democratic nominee for president. Oh, wait a minute. That's actually not what happened, is it? Actually, not one person voted for her. Actually, she's never won a primary delegate in her life. Oh, but besides that, she is a Democratic nominee because the power brokers at B basically got rid of Joe Biden, who was failing as a candidate, and replaced him with somebody else that they could control as easily as they controlled Joe Biden. And so that's what we have now. We have Kamala Harris in this very undemocratic process is there to save democracy for us. And it's quite a selection from a Catholic standpoint. If you want to look at her record, look at her, what she's done in the past as Catholics, how should we view Kamala Harris? I mean, I titled her in this podcast, the anti-Catholic candidate. I really do think she is. I think that essentially most Democratic presidential nominees, candidates, they are typically anti-Catholic. Joe Biden was anti-Catholic as a Catholic. And I think Kamala Harris is no different. In a lot of ways, she's just a standard Democrat. I mean, she doesn't really go outside the party line. She is as woke as the rest of them. She is pro-LGBTQTF, I don't know, plus as the rest of them. She is very, you know, pro-trans, pushing gays on kids. She's basically pro-grooming. She's progressive to the core, which one thing I think we need to remember is if you are progressive today, that means you're anti-Christian because Christianity is what our society was based upon. Yes, I can go back and, you know, we can go into detail about how American Christianity, the foundation of America is more Protestant Christianity, which is flawed from the beginning, but it's still Christianity. It still has the remnants of Christendom. And that's essentially what our society has been built upon. So if you're progressive, which means, in effect, you want to destroy the past and create a brand new future, well, that means you want to destroy Christianity. I mean, that's just, I know there are people who call themselves progressive Christians, but it's an oxymoron to be a progressive Christian. Because if you are progressive, that means you want to destroy the past, build a new future. Well, the past is Christian in the Western world. There's just no other way about it. Perhaps if you were progressive in Saudi Arabia, you could be Christian because you want to destroy the Saudi Arabian Islam back tradition, that foundation. Okay, fine. But here in America, in the Western world, to be progressive is to be anti-Christian. And so Kamala is therefore anti-Christian. Now, on abortion, she's like the other Democrats in a sense, but I would argue she's far worse. She's far worse because one of the things that was touted about her when she first was appointed as a nominee or as a potential nominee was that she was the first vice president to tour an abortion clinic. Think about that for a minute. This is a building in which babies are dismembered. They are killed and dismembered. This is the equivalent, and I mean this literally, of a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. Because little babies are killed in these buildings. It's not some antiseptic area where it's just like a medical facility like any other. No, these are killing rooms, killing buildings. And she went to tour it to promote abortion. And she was there basically talking about how great this was. There's something viscerally different when you go to an abortion clinic. I've noticed this with pro-lifers. Pro-lifers who have been to an abortion clinic, i.e. outside of it, counseling, praying, they typically look at abortion very differently than pro-lifers who have never been to one. I know this is actually true for myself, and I know lots of people this is true for, because when you haven't been to one, abortion is just a political issue. It might be an important political issue, but it's not that much different from maybe taxes or immigration or something like that. But when you've been there and you've seen the women who go there and what's going to happen there, you know exactly what's going inside that building. That's very, as a pro-lifer, all of a sudden it no longer is a political issue. It's a real moral issue. It's a Holocaust. It's a horror. And you treat abortion very differently after that. And I think the same is true of pro-abortion people. Somebody like Kamala Harris, she actually went to this place where babies are being killed and dismembered to celebrate it. So she's been inside it. There's no, like, it's not just simply a political issue for her. And so I think in some ways she's far worse than any of the previous pro-abortion Democrat presidents like Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or Joe Biden. I think it's very real to her. And, you know, nobody knows if she has had an abortion in her background. She's never mentioned this, but based upon her pretty well-known promiscuous background and lack of children, it's always very possible that she herself has had an abortion, which makes it much more real than it would for somebody like maybe a Joe Biden or a Barack Obama. Also, she's put this in practice. When she was the California Attorney General, she backed a 2015 state law requiring pro-life pregnancy centers to offer abortion referrals. Hear that again. She wanted pro-life pregnancy centers, your crisis pregnancy centers, to be forced to offer abortion referrals, to go against their complete their mission. Remember, most pregnancy centers are Catholic Christian based. So she's basically saying, Christians, Catholics, I'm going to force you to refer people to abortion. Fortunately, the Supreme Court struck the U.S. Supreme Court struck the law down. Another thing she did in 2015 as a California Attorney General, she authorized a raid of pro-life activist David I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce his last name. DeLaden. David DeLaden, who he had done a hidden camera probe on Planned Parenthood, found all these horrible things happening. And so you would think, as an attorney general, somebody uncovers horrible practices happening at some business in your state. You go after the business, right? No, she goes after the whistleblower. She goes after David DeLaden, and she wants to prosecute him. And what he was revealing was that Planned Parenthood affiliates were selling fetal tissue from abortion for research. And so, I mean, she of course got a lot of support from Planned Parenthood. And so she used it for their favor to go after somebody who was revealing how evil they were. She's also explicitly anti-Catholic. Not just like in the general sense every Democrat is, but specifically, when she was a senator, this is in December 2019, she confronted the judicial nominee Brian Boucher. Again, sorry, I mispronounce last names all the time. I can barely pronounce my own, so forgive me. She confronted him by his membership, and get this, the Knights of Columbus. She asked him pointedly if his membership in a, quote, all-male society comprised primarily of Catholic men, I guess she means maybe non-Catholic, no, it's just Catholic men, that affirmed teaching the church disqualified him from sitting on the federal bench. She thought being in the Knights of Columbus, now any Catholic who knows the Knights of Columbus, what they're like, this is just laughable. She thought being in the Knights of Columbus might disqualify you from being a judge on the federal bench. You know, the group of older guys who drink beer and do raise money for disabled kids and things like that. That's a threat, according to Kamala Harris, simply because the Knights of Columbus is Catholic and they do affirm the teachings of the Catholic Church, i.e. they're against abortion. They're against the gay stuff, all that. She thought that alone could disqualify you. I don't know how you could be more anti-Catholic than being anti-Knights of Columbus, for Pete's sake. Now, today she actually picked her vice presidential candidate. Tim Walz? I think WLZ. I don't think there's a T in there. So Walz, who's the governor of Minnesota. He is a radical progressive. I saw somebody online today say she went with the online choice, meaning she, her campaign, her is so in the kind of Twitterverse and online world that she picked the most radical progressive she could. Instead of picking a more middle of the road candidate, middle of the road for Democrats, that is, she picks my, who's a radical progressive. I mean, he's an old white guy, so I guess they figure that makes him, by that alone, probably makes him middle of the road for Democrats. But he, his policies are radically progressive. He's very pro-LGBTQ alphabet gang. He actually signed a bill in Minnesota that lets the state of Minnesota take away your kids if you disagree, basically, with to sterilize them, to perform surgeries on them, to trans them. So in the state of Minnesota, they could take away your kid if you opposed using barbaric procedures to trans the kid. During COVID, he actually banned houses of worship from having mass or having their worship services in groups of larger than 10 people. Now, remember, this is the same guy who allowed rioters to completely control the major city in his state and do nothing about that, burn it down. But if you wanted to go to mass and 11 of you wanted to go, one of you had to leave, which basically effectively banned mass because almost every mass offered has more than 10 people come to it, especially on Sundays. And so also this guy, Tim Walz, is completely pro-abortion. If you look, go to his website, the governor of Minnesota, that's like the first thing he touts. Actually, the first thing I think he says, free universal health care, something for kids. And he says, and reproductive freedom. This isn't like a side thing for him. He's rabidly pro-abortion. Maybe not as much as Kamala, but still rabidly pro-abortion. And so based on all this, the question just arises, how could any Catholic vote for Kamala Harris? How could any Catholic vote for Kamala Harris? Okay, well, guess what? They can, because look at this. Tonight, actually, Tuesday, August 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Catholics for Harris is having a meeting. Catholics for Harris. There's actually an organization that propped up after Kamala was installed, after Biden was kicked out, called Catholics for Harris. And they're having a meeting tonight, their initial meeting. I just want to say, perhaps some of you out there might want to go to this meeting and inform them of what you think about people saying they're Catholic and being for this completely anti-Catholic candidate. I'm unable to make it, but perhaps you could. Just a suggestion. So this is run, by the way, by Christopher Hale, who's basically a Democratic hack. He ran for Congress, I think it was, something in Tennessee as a Democrat. He's very much supported Biden, supports Harris. He has an interesting background, though, to be honest. His background, when he ran for office, there was a whole report about him passing, you know, bouncing checks, about saying he's going to raise money and didn't, about where money went to, a lot of questions around that. But one thing I thought was interesting, at least for Catholics, I think is this section here where this is from a Tennessee article about his campaign. It says, separate from the campaign finance questions, Hale has also been accused of fraud in a lengthy letter provided earlier this year to Washington, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine's office. Hale has not been charged with any crime related to that complaint. The documents, however, provided to the Attorney General claim that Hale used an email list from a defunct nonprofit organization he had previously worked for in order to solicit funds from former donors. According to the documents, the fundraising request made it seem like the money was for a new nonprofit called the Francis Project, with a mission to politically engage progressive Catholics. Again, remember what I said earlier about you cannot be progressive and be Catholic, not in the Western world, to engage progressive Catholics, when instead the funds went to a for-profit company registered in Hale's name. Hale's emails used Catholic imagery, including pictures of Pope Francis, and asked for funds to help support activist causes and messaging to push back against the agenda of President Donald Trump. Joseph's letter to the Attorney General details how Hale was told not to use the email list and how he continued to do so. The letter also contained the business registration document showing Hale created the Francis Project as a for-profit company and not a nonprofit. So this Hale guy, who's running Catholics for Harris, let me show that again, Catholic for Harris, he seems like quite a bit of work with some, like a checkered past. He's basically a Democrat operative who's created a front group for Harris, claiming that Catholics are for her. What's interesting is, if you look at actually their Twitter account, which just started recently, it's 100% just made up of things against Trump, like Trump being immoral. For example, he says, as Catholics, we don't think a legally adjudicated rapist and convicted felon should serve as the 47th president of the United States. Obviously, he's, 47th president of the United States. And then he continually refers to some of Trump's dealings, let's just say, allegations, and some I think are true about his, I'm trying to keep this a family-friendly podcast, but some of his activities with ladies, we'll just put it that way. But you have to wonder what he's thinking by bringing this up when most people realize the background of Kamala Harris is not as a, let's just say, a Disney princess. I mean, she rose to her position of power this part is, I'm again trying to keep it family friendly. She was basically the mistress of a married man who was the mayor of San Francisco, who helped her to gain more and more political power. And so it's not exactly like trying to say that Catholics can't vote for Trump because he has an immoral past in this area doesn't really work, because so does Kamala. The fact is, none of the candidates running for president this year, almost any year, are morally impeccable or even examples. I mean, Trump does have a morally checkered past. There's no question about that. Kamala does too. Joe Biden does too, in many other ways. I mean, they all do. To act like any of these guys are paradigms of moral virtue. I remember the 1990s when there was arguments against Bill Clinton because of his checkered moral past. And, you know, many Christians were saying he's not qualified for office because of that. Well, the fact is, I mean, we just have to be realistic. They're all like this on some level. I would say probably, unless their name is Ron Paul, almost all these politicians have some real moral issues in their past. And some of those moral issues led to them gaining more power. I mean, look at the fact that these members of Congress become extremely rich by being members of Congress. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is worth so much, and there's no way that it could just be from her salary or her stock picking skills that she's so rich. I mean, they're all have immoral things. So the question just simply becomes, who will be the better president? Will it be Kamala Harris or Donald Trump or RFK or whoever? Not whether or not they have some a checkered past in their background. Yet that's exactly what this Catholics for Harris group is doing. They're just saying, oh, how could Catholics? They're trying to kind of touch on how Catholics do care about morality. We do. We do think that's important. It would be great to have a president who is morally upright, a blessed Carl, so to speak. But simply put, that's not an option. That's not an option hardly any year. I don't know in my lifetime if it's ever been an option. I mean, maybe Mitt Romney was morally upright in some ways as a Mormon. I don't think there's been any real scandals, but I mean, I imagine he's probably got some things in his background too. So ultimately, that it's just a silly point. But what I notice is they haven't brought up anything about her policies, because I mean, we don't know what her policies are for that matter. And so I think this Catholics for Harris group, again, they have a meeting tonight, online meeting, 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight, Tuesday, August 6th. If you're listening to this live, maybe you should join it. It's bit.ly/Catholics for Harris. And so what I think we need to recognize is that Catholics, it just simply voting for somebody like Kamala Harris is just untenable. Now, here's the elephant I want in the room that I want to address. The fact is, the Catholics that are most... Okay, first of all, let me take a step back. Before I address the elephant, I'll put this way. The elephant's wearing a white robes. When you look at polls of who Catholics are supporting, we have to be honest and know that the vast majority of people who say they're Catholic are not practicing Catholics. They don't attend Mass each week, which makes them not practicing Catholic. They don't go to confession regularly. They don't necessarily believe what the church teaches. So when you look at, like, for example, let's say Catholics are 52 to 48 for Trump. I made that up, but I think it's something around there. The fact is, the vast majority of the Catholics on both sides, Trump and Kamala, aren't practicing Catholics. And so you kind of, that's a wash, because they're not being impacted by their Catholicism. That's not why they're voting for who they're voting for. Isn't because of their Catholic faith. But there is a percentage in there on both sides of practicing Catholics, meaning Catholics who attend Mass each week, probably go to confession regularly. So why is it that some Catholics, even in that category, are voting for Kamala Harris? Well, one thing we have to note, and here's that elephant in the room, the Catholics who are the most behind, the most pro Pope Francis, are also the ones that are the most likely to be supporting Kamala Harris for president, supporting a Democrat candidate. And if you look at Pope Francis's own record on this, how he has interacted with the American political scene, you see that he's been very harsh against Donald Trump, and he's been very praiseworthy of Joe Biden. Now, I'd have no problem if Pope Francis wanted to call out things that Donald Trump did as president that went against Catholic teaching. I have no problem with that. But he also needs to do it for Joe Biden, who does things that are far worse from a Catholic point of view. Yet he will rail on somebody like Donald Trump for his immigration policies and say nothing about Joe Biden for his abortion policies. And so the fact is that we have a Pope who is basically endorsing the Democratic nominee, no matter who it is. I'm not saying he's coming out there and explicitly endorsing Kamala Harris. He won't do something like that, or Joe Biden in the past. But by his words and actions, that's what he's giving a wink and a nod, a wink and a nod to Catholics who are going to support the Democrat candidate. And I think this is a grave scandal. This is something that it's hard to defend. You can't defend the Pope for this. And so why are they doing this? Why are some Catholics supporting Kamala Harris, including somebody like a Pope Francis? I think what happens is two things. First, I think they prioritize certain issues, certain political issues, to the detriment of all others. And so, for example, they would say, like, helping the poor. But they have a very warped idea of what it means to help the poor. They think that always means big government giving money away, giving your money away, taking money from you and giving it to others. And so the politician who supports that, they think that that's the better way. Likewise with immigration, they think open borders is a good thing, that, you know, we cannot turn anybody away. That would be un-Catholic to do. Of course, that's completely ludicrous. I had a podcast about this a few months ago, I think it was, again, about immigration policy, that Catholics absolutely should support a closed border or more closed than we have now, at the very least. So that's one thing, is they come into a certain political ideology, and then they form who they're going to vote for based on that, not by their religion. Their religion doesn't inform their political ideology. Their political ideology informs their religion. And so another reason, though, I think, honestly, is I think progressive Catholics, again, that's an oxymoron, I recognize that, they put this world over the next. Their only thinking is this world. Now, the ways they want to improve this world are just horrifically wrong and will do more harm than good. But even giving them the benefit of doubt that they're sincere and good natured, good intention, they put this world above the next. And so the idea that, just let's use abortion, they are thinking only of, oh, this woman, her life could be somewhat better if she didn't have this kid. But of course, she's putting her eternal soul in jeopardy by having her child killed. But in this world, maybe she's going to have a better job or something like that. It's a completely warped sensibility. and it's awful. But that's what leads somebody to support somebody like Kamala Harris, a Catholic. Now, I know people say all the time, you can't be Catholic and vote Democrat. You can't be Catholic and vote for a pro-abortion politician. You can't be Catholic and vote for Kamala Harris. I hate that language, to be honest. I mean, I'll just be blunt. I don't like it when Catholics say that. Because number one, I don't think it works. Because the people who are thinking about voting for Kamala Harris, the Catholics who are thinking about voting for her or are voting for her, they're not going to listen to your statement that you can't be Catholic and do this. And so it just, it doesn't work. I don't know who it would actually change their mind. Because if you're already adamantly for Kamala, it doesn't matter. And if you're just thinking about it, it just is like you're just thinking to yourself, yeah, I can be Catholic because I see other Catholics doing it. So it just, I don't think it works. Second, I don't think it's true always either, in the sense that the church has made very clear, and I know I'm going to upset some people when I say this, but the church has made very clear that when you vote, there are prudential aspects in mind, and often you have multiple candidates, all of whom are wrong about certain things. So you're always going to vote for a candidate who is going to, you know, almost always going to vote for a candidate who violates at least some Catholic teaching or doesn't really support certain aspects of the church's teaching. That's just the way it is. And sometimes you're going to get a situation where you have multiple people who are pro-abortion, for example. And the church has said you can vote for somebody who is pro-abortion in that case, as long as you're not voting for that person because they're pro-abortion. Or instead, it's more like, well, I just, because it's the better in all these different reasons. So I don't think it's actually true either. Now, in this case, though, I just honestly don't see how any Catholic can vote for Kamala. I'm not saying, by the way, you notice I've barely even mentioned Donald Trump here. I'm not saying a Catholic must vote for Donald Trump. I think you could make an argument for third party candidates or something like that. You can make an argument for not voting. I mean, I did that months ago. I've made clear I'm voting for Donald Trump. I'm supporting him. But I don't think it's mandatory that a Catholic vote for Donald Trump. But I do think at this point, I don't see how a Catholic could vote for Kamala Harris. She is anti-Catholic. She is rabidly pro-abortion. She is rabidly for the trans and gay agenda that wants to groom our kids and wants to destroy civilization as we know it. We will not be, as Catholics, we will not be allowed to live as we need to live to be faithful Catholics with a Kamala Harris presidency. She will do very many things to make our lives worse and make the lives of innocent people, obviously the innocent unborn, innocent children who maybe are confused or upset and now all of a sudden their parents are transing them or their school is transing them or whatever the case may be, giving them a life of hardship, telling gay people that people who struggle, I should say, with homosexual tendencies, telling them that, oh no, you have to embrace these feelings, even though they're going to be destructive to you, all these things that wrecking our economy and leaving people in, you know, families having a difficult time supporting themselves, all these things that Kamala Harris claims to do. I mean, there's nothing that could be that is further from a Catholic vision of a just society, the common good, than a Kamala Harris presidency. So I just don't see it. I mean, I think Kamala Harris is the ultimate anti-Catholic candidate. And as Catholics, we should really pray and work that she does not win in November. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up there. I appreciate you joining us. Until next time, everybody, God love you.